from the Beantown Athletic Studio in Boston, this is the Danny Picard Show, Monday, February 20th, 2017. Today's show presented by Beantown Athletics, your number one source for screen printing and embroidery. From designing to printing, Beantown Athletics does it all. Go to BeantownAthletics.com right now and get a free quote for your customized apparel. Today's show also presented by DraftKings. You can play for free right now at DraftKings.com by using my promo code PICK. That's P-I-C. Play for free right now with your first deposit at DraftKings. There are no season-long commitments. Just pick your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. Whether it's NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, even golf, DraftKings has something for everybody. Set up a private league, or if you're new to DraftKings, join a beginner contest. There are huge prize pools every single day, so don't wait. Start your new season right now at DraftKings.com and play for free with your first deposit by using my promo code PICK. That's P-I-C. Joining me in studio right now is the one and only Slane. What's up, Slane?
Chilling, man. What's good with you?
Not much.
It's been a minute. I haven't been in here in a minute.
Yeah. When's the last time we had you in here?
Three, 4 months ago, maybe.
Yeah. And what was going on?
I forget.
Deflategate probably.
I can barely remember.
I forget, but here's what I can guarantee. Deflategate was still a thing.
Yeah, and we were talking about it.
And now, Deflategate is over with. Like, there's no more Deflategate anymore. Because the Patriots went on to win a Super Bowl.
They obliterated
Super Bowl 51.
It.
Roger Goodell had to hand the trophy over. Tom Brady, the MVP. Deflategate is over with. We'll get into some football, we'll get into some basketball, some NBA trade deadline stuff, but you come in here today and I just want to catch up. Like, what's going on? What's new with you? Like, what's up with Slane? What's next for Slane right now?
Chilling, man. I just, you know, I put out the EP. Oh, that's when I came in last time.
Oh, that's right.
I put out the EP in September.
We could show. We're on video now. Facebook Live video.
And we put out a new album at La Cosa Nostra. We toured through, Canada, Europe, some US states, and, you know, I've just been busy out in L.A. grinding. I did a new movie that I'm actually going to go see the final cut on Friday. It's a Netflix original. It's called Wheelman. And that'll be out this summer on Netflix, I think.
Okay. There you go. Now, what was your last movie? Was Central Intelligence?
Yeah, I had something in Central Intelligence.
You try to shoot the rock.
Yeah.
We saw it. You try to shoot the rock in a bar fight.
And I got I told him and Kevin Hart to go jerk each other off.
Yeah.
And then I caught the people's elbow from the rock.
Speaking of bar fights, the Darrell Rivas stuff is coming out as we jump on this
show.
Has
any video been released from this yet?
There is a video. And the video is not of the actual fight itself. The video is of the two kids allegedly knocked out on the ground. They're laying on the ground. Are they knocked out? Is it staged? I don't know. But if they are actually knocked out on the ground, here's my theory on the Rivas thing, is that if he's walking down the street by himself at 2:30 in the morning and there's two guys walking his way, I'm going to say that Rivas wasn't the one starting the fight with the two kids. I kind of feel like, and you should know this, if you've ever been to Faneuil Hall in your life, that I would put my money on this. That these two kids, whatever happened to them, they got knocked out. I hope they're all right now. But them getting knocked out in that moment, I'm going to put my money on the fact that they probably deserve to get knocked
Thank
out.
Thank you. You know how many times...
I'm being dead serious.
The past few days, I've been hearing all the, oh, Darrell Rivas, he's going to lose his contract, or he deserves to. And listen, these two guys deserve to get knocked out. I haven't seen the video yet, but I've been in the situation before. I know that how these people get entitled. They're dickheads. They're probably drunk, chasing them with this phone.
Yeah.
And they deserve to get
knocked
out.
And they got
knocked
out.
And now they want to file charges and terrorist. And that's how it always goes, by the way. It's somebody who's acting completely out of order. And then when it doesn't go their way, they want to call the police.
I actually think I like Darrell Rivas a little bit more after this situation. And I'm not even trying to go the opposite route of what everybody's saying about it. But I just feel like people are living in a different world. If they think that Rivas is walking down the street at 2:30 in the morning trying to knock people out, especially when he's outnumbered, like, that doesn't make any sense. If you've ever left the bar at Faneuil Hall at 2 o'clock in the morning, Faneuil Brawl, we call it, there's a million people. I mean, I haven't done it in a long time, but we've all been there, right? We all know what that situation is like. I imagine that similar type of situation where Rivas, it's like, all right, maybe you should walk away. But these two kids... Maybe they had it coming to him. I don't know.
It's harassment. And you know, I heard Derek Jeter say once, the worst thing that ever happened to him was the camera phone on a cell phone, right? Because everybody has a camera. Mm-hmm. So it's harassment what these people are doing. Why aren't they being charged with something? Why is it up to Darrell Reeves? And I've also heard the argument that, well, what is he doing out at 2:30 in the morning for? Well, because it's America and he can do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Yeah.
And if somebody is harassing you, then... and you warn them, and they don't take heed, then you're going to get knocked out.
No, we're not sitting here to promote fighting today in the middle of the street at 2:30 in the morning. But all I'm trying to do is, everybody's got their opinion, so I'll give mine. I mean, what the first thing I thought of when I saw this was these two kids probably deserved it. And I don't think that Revis is walking around trying to knock out two people when he's outnumbered just for no reason at all. It doesn't matter what time it is. But... I actually have become, I think, a bigger Darrell Revis fan. I've been a Revis fan anyways. He helped the Patriots, you know, part of a Super Bowl championship, the Super Bowl 49 a couple years ago. I don't know that I like how the whole Jets thing went down after that, but look, big picture, when we knock him for going to New York, going back to New York, you know, we did knock him, and we looked at the whole situation and thought, well, Revis is now an enemy. I don't know that I feel that way anymore. I see this situation. I just have a different take on it. But anyways.
Did you hear the video? Did you see the video?
I saw the video. Yeah. The kid is knocked out.
That's the thing. There's no real video. It's just the kid's knocked out on the ground. But there's some cool audio from it. I got to play it.
But I don't get it. If it's supposed to be from the kid's phone that he threw.
No, it's not. So this is somebody. It looks like somebody who knocked them out is filming it. And if you hear the video, I'll play it right now.
Let's hear it.
Hey, I knocked both of these motherfuckers out. Both of them. They both sleep. Shut up, I'll knock your ass out now. Both of y'all, shut up.
that's not Revis. Is that Revis?
I don't think so.
That's Revis.
They're trying to say it's
it might be.
I don't know.
But you know
he
what?
It sounds like Revis.
If it is Revis,
it's Revis Aurelius.
Mind, it's also.
He's like the gladiator, dude.
It's also after the event happened. What happened. So he's thoroughly pissed off.
Are you not entertained?
Revis Aurelius.
I want to see the footage from the kid's phone when they were following Revis. Yes.
You know what? I do too, and I want to see Revis knocking these motherfuckers out. I want to see that. That's what I want to see. Knock them out. I want to see the video. Anyways, what are we going to do here? We're going to not talk about Revis, and I'm going to not talk about Bob Fight. See, I have this Facebook Live video that I'm trying to control in front of me, and you saw me trying to put it together. And as Pete knows, and as the people who watch and listen to the show know, I can get very emotional as
agitated.
I try to put this all together. I believe it's working. I believe we're streaming live on Facebook, but either way, we got a podcast to do, so let's get to it.
Yeah, it's working. I'm watching it.
NBA is the biggest story right now. I went to sleep last night tweeting people about DeMarcus Cousins. I wake up today tweeting people about DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins has been traded to the New Orleans Pelicans, and the deal... because the NBA trade deadline is Thursday at 3 o'clock. The NBA All-Star game was last night. After the game, it was in New Orleans. DeMarcus Cousins traded. Here's the deal. Cousins to the Pelicans. For Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, a 2017 first-round pick, and a 2017 second-round pick. That is an absolute steal for the New Orleans Pelicans. Is it not? I mean, you look at the trade and you think, what else could they have got out there around the NBA? This is an absolute steal for the Pelicans.
Well, let's forget about the Celtics angle for right now, but why, if you're the Sacramento Kings, do you take a trade on Sunday night when you still have 4 days to go and you have interest probably from the Lakers, the Celtics? Who else was interested in Cousins?
I think Orlando maybe was a team.
So you have other teams, and as the trade deadline nears, you would assume that the offers are going to go up. There could be competing offers. Why, if you're the Sacramento Kings, what are you in a rush for? Why would you pull up 4 days shy? Unless it was an explanation point kind of deal. I mean, they got Buddy Hield, who... maybe a great NBA player. He's a great shooter, but he's averaging 8 points a year in his rookie season. And, you know, a first-round pick that could be, what, in the top 10 or the top, you know?
Well, I think it's top three protected, too. So they can't even get it, right? If it's a top three pick, they can't get it. Now, I don't think it's going to be a top three pick, but if it is, I don't think they can get it. I think it's protected. But regardless of that, forget about that. And I'll bring the Celtics theory into it because it needs to be. Because the Celtics, we're looking at this thing, and I just did 2 days of radio on WEEI in which I'm taking phone calls, and I'm trying to convince people that the right thing for the Celtics to do is to trade the Brooklyn pick this year, even though it could be number one overall, and most likely will be number one overall. Trade this Brooklyn pick and package it with a couple different players on the roster and go out and get an all-star player. And in my opinion, they need an all-star scorer on that wing, whether it's a Jimmy Butler, whether it's a Paul George. I just think those two players on those two teams, Indiana, Chicago, with what the Celtics have to offer, I just feel like it's a good fit for both of those teams. But in and around Boston, and you know, I know, Pete, you know, everybody listens to this knows, the Celtics have an opportunity, whether you want them to make a move or not, they have an opportunity to make a major blockbuster move. And if you're going to make a major blockbuster move, DeMarcus Cousins, if he's available, is somebody that if you're the Celtics, you should want to go acquire. Now, I've heard it all. I've heard the fact that people think he's a problem child. People think he is, you know, a coach killer. They think he's somebody that is bad for an organization to bring in because, you know, he has these antics that he pulls. You know, he does something, did a thing with a reporter this year. He doesn't necessarily seem like such a good dude or such a team player or somebody that you would want to bring into your organization to help a locker room. In fact, people say that he hurts a locker room, and that's the reason why maybe you wouldn't give up a lot for him. And some people are using that to explain why Sacramento made this move right now and why they took what they did, which you think from the outside looking in might not be the best offer that they could have received, especially if a team like the Celtics that has that Brooklyn pick would want a guy like Cousins. I'm on the record. I've been on the record for a long time. I would love to see DeMarcus Cousins in a Celtics uniform. I wanted the Celtics to trade for him. The last couple days leading into All-Star weekend, I just thought to myself, if it was going to happen, it would have already happened. Because we've heard the rumors, we've heard the trade talk, the Celtics have had these assets for a while. I just felt like if they were going to get Cousins, it already would have happened. Now, rumors were that the Celtics had inquired about Cousins several times. I believe those rumors. Why wouldn't you do it? So now, people are looking at Cousins going to New Orleans. It's not a great trade for Sacramento right now. At least the return doesn't look like as good as maybe they could have received if they had waited a couple days. But here's my theory with the Celtics. I think, and this sort of plays off of a tweet last night that Rick Bucher tweeted out. He said the Celtics are too focused right now on Jimmy Butler. And I think that's where we stand. That's where the Celtics stand. They are right now focused on a real trade that they thought was real. I don't think that this means the Celtics didn't want Cousins, which is what a lot of people are saying. They're saying, well, it just goes to show that they didn't want this kid, that they weren't willing to give up anything for him. No, I think the Celtics haven't already inquired about DeMarcus Cousins and getting no deal for him and hearing all these rumors and nothing going through. I actually think they didn't want to waste their time on some stupid trade talk. They wanted to be serious. And if they're all in on one player, someone like Jimmy Butler right now, and there's serious talks, which Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo Sports says they are talking right now, then why would you want to get up, you know, leave that negotiation table to go talk with Sacramento about a trade that you don't even know if they're seriously willing to move him? I just don't think the Celtics wanted to waste their time if they already have something that they're all in on. And I think this goes to show, along with Rick Bucher's tweet last night, that forget about the whole idea that the Celtics, yeah, they could have given up more, a lot more than what New Orleans gave up. And to be honest, I'm a big DeMarcus Cousins fan. I would have liked to see that. But if you are already locked into a deal that you might be close on, and it's Jimmy Butler, who's an all-star player, and that elite scorer from the wing who puts up 24, 25 points a night that I would love to see on the Celtics team, I don't think you can walk away from that and risk losing that deal to try and talk about a trade for a guy that you don't even know if the Kings are going to move him.
Yeah, but who would you rather have for this Celtics team? Who makes you more competitive? Who gives you a chance to possibly beat Cleveland? DeMarcus Cousins or Jimmy Butler?
I think they both give you a chance, first of all. I think they both give you a chance. If you line them up against the wall and you said, your first pick, pick one. I'd say Cousins, obviously. I think that's a, I think that's an obvious thing. I mean, what is he, 26 and 10, 26 and 12 every year? I mean, the guy's amazing. He's 26 years old. He's under contract for next season, and you would sign him to an extension, I would assume. But I would take Cousins first. I think the reason this comes off as a shock isn't just because of the return that Sacramento got, which is low. I think that people have been inquiring about Cousins for a while, and they get a sense that Sacramento just is such a shit show of an organization that they have no idea what they're going to do with him. So why waste your time? If you have, it's one thing if the Celtics were sitting there like, ah, we're not close on Jimmy Butler. We're not close on a Paul George. We're not close on anything. We want to make that blockbuster deal. And Sacramento calls him last night or Saturday. That's, to me, that's a different story. To me, I would look at that and go, you can't hang the phone up on that. Then I'd be knocking the Celtics. But right now, let's see. I mean, maybe the Jimmy Butler thing doesn't happen. I have a feeling that this tells me it will, though.
Look, in the long term, I think DeMarcus Cousins is by far much better to acquire than Jimmy Butler. DeMarcus Cousins, if you stick him next to Horford, is going to not only make you compete this year and give you a better chance to beat Cleveland, just matchup-wise, you're going to be better in the long term. You're going to let Jaylen Brown develop. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you bring Jimmy Butler in, does it make you better this year? Yes. Will you beat Cleveland? In my opinion, absolutely not. I think you maybe...
With Jimmy Butler?
I think you guarantee you get out of the first round. You maybe win a second-round game. You don't get by Cleveland with Jimmy Butler. I think you become better now. But in the long term, I think you have Jaylen Brown, who you just used a number three pick on. Mm. You got to develop him over the long term, because the reality is you got to beat Cleveland and then Golden State. We're talking about building a championship team here.
Yeah.
So if we get Jimmy Butler, we still need a dominant big man.
See, a dominant big man or somebody that's serviceable enough to give you really. And I know people say, well, they need rebounding. They need, you know, that shot blocker. I don't know. I don't think Al Horford's getting enough credit for the type of shot blocking ability he has. I don't know that he's getting enough credit right now for the type of defense that he does provide. I know he likes to be on the outside. I know he likes to shoot. But I just don't think Horford's getting enough credit for his defense, which I think is better than what people are either watching or not watching and looking at the box score for. I think if you get in a series with Cleveland, and right now, with this Celtics team, as currently constituted, if you get in a series with the Cavaliers, seven-game series, and you lose that series, I don't think we're going to be talking about, oh, the rebounding and, you know, the defense or the shot blocking. I think we're going to be talking about how we didn't have that other guy to score the basketball and keep up with Irving and LeBron. I mean, all of that said, I don't think Isaiah Thomas is getting enough credit for what he's doing. I don't think Marcus Smart is getting enough credit for the type of ferocious defense that he is playing, which I think, again, is awfully tough to find in the league, where I said it the other day on the show, Thomas, Horford, and Marcus Smart are untouchable. You can't have Marcus Smart. As much as I love Cousins, I want Butler, I want George, you can't have Smart. I'm sorry, you can't have him. He's just too valuable. You talk about value, that's a valuable guy in the playoffs. Maybe more than anyone on the team, to be honest, if you are talking about a series with Cleveland. Smart on LeBron. You know, let him give him fits the whole time. I mean, I think if the Celtics played Cleveland and they lost, I don't know that the issue would be rebounding or defense. I think the issue would be you didn't have that other guy that could keep up with Irving and LeBron. You didn't have that other guy when Isaiah Thomas gets double-teamed that can score, that can have the potential for the big offensive game. I mean, Marcus Smart showed some potential for the offensive game, but again, I think you're asking more from a defensive standpoint from him, where you need to bring in somebody that can score. And sure, Cousins can. And again, I don't want to make this sound like I didn't want Cousins. I did. And I think the Celtics would have or should have given up a much better package than what New Orleans did. I just don't know that they tried based on the fact that I think they didn't believe that Sacramento was even realistically going to move him. Because you heard a report the other day that they were keeping him. We heard talks of an extension. You know, you also have that issue. Would he re-sign with you? Cousins, I think he said he wasn't going to re-sign with anyone. He's going to become a free agent. So you got that going on. I just don't know that the Celtics had a clear grasp on the Sacramento situation, where the deadline's at 3 o'clock on Thursday. And there's a lot of work to be done. And if they're already talking to Chicago and working things out there, to me, there's no need to walk away from that. As good as Cousins is, there's no need to walk away from that. because I think that if you add Jimmy Butler, then maybe this is where we disagree. And there are other people that called in on WER this week and disagree with me as well. But I think the Celtics can contend and compete with Cleveland. And if you could beat Cleveland, then, you know, you get to the NBA Finals. I get it. They add Durant. That's a super team. But the way this Celtics team plays, I mean, where they're not out of any game, Isaiah Thomas is an MVP candidate, whether people like it or not. I just think maybe people aren't giving Isaiah Thomas enough credit right now. Maybe they're not giving Marcus Smart enough credit.
Well, look, those guys are both the hell. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is second in the league in scoring.
Yep.
He's dominant in the fourth quarter. We've never seen a guy his size this good in the NBA. That being said, we got 17 titles here in Boston. Name one of those titles that we won without an elite big man. We've never done that. We've always had an elite big man. Most every championship team has an elite big man.
I think it's a different game. I think a lot of the elite big men that we're talking about now like to play on the outside. You know, they can go out.
DeMarcus Cousins.
You know what I mean? No.
But look, when you got a chance to get, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is possibly, if you could pick any big man right now in the NBA, you know, forget about the outside issues.
Yeah.
At his age, with his skill set, you would take him. Now, he just went to the Pelicans for nothing. You could have had him. So it leads me to believe that Ainge withdrew his offer. Maybe you're right. Maybe he was more interested in Butler. Maybe he didn't want to hang his hat on a guy who has possible mental issues, who's a coach killer, all the stuff that you named. It leads me to believe that Ainge withdrew his offer. Because why else would...
Reports were that the Celtics were not even involved.
Right, so...
That brings me to Rick Bucher's tweet, which is he gives some reason as to why some teams who weren't involved, you know, people thought they should be involved, why they weren't involved. The Celtics, the reason they weren't involved, he says, is because they're too involved in Jimmy Butler.
Kid that you took this year with the number 3 pick, I mean, you're not going to...
Jaylen Brown, yeah.
You're not going to beat Cleveland or Golden State this year with Jimmy Butler. You're not. It's not going to happen.
I think you could.
You're not good enough still.
I think you could. See, I don't think you're giving enough credit to Isaiah Thomas, because I think Isaiah Thomas is the type of player, turning into the type of player right now, that not only do you build around, but you also look at and think, all right, he's one of the best players in the game. And if you can add an all-star to him, and again, let's... Horford, I don't think, is getting enough respect in this town. And I'm looking at how Marcus Smart has improved. All right, let's say you're right, and they can't beat him this year. What about next year? I mean, they're the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. And this is another beef that I had, because some people call in, they're like, oh, you sound like a green teamer. And I went on this Twitter rant last night, this phrase, green teamer. Who came up with, who was that? Is that Felger? Did Felger start that, the green teamer thing? Because that's the stupidest phrase I've ever heard in my life. Am I not allowed to give credit and praise a team that's number 2 in the Eastern Conference, that has a point guard who is an MVP candidate, who's second in the league in scoring, like you just said, what, behind Russell Westbrook? I believe Westbrook's number 1. Am I a green teamer if I praise the number 2 team in the East that has 37 wins at the break, whose coach is coaching the Eastern Conference, who has an MVP candidate, who has a couple other players on this team that I think aren't getting enough credit? I'm a green teamer because I'm giving them praise? I don't think so. That's the stupidest phrase of all time. I wish people would stop using it, and I wish people would stop trying to think that they have to be a green teamer if they're calling Isaiah Thomas an MVP candidate. And this brings me into my Isaiah Thomas max contract rant. I think he deserves one. Now, just to clarify, I did say on WEI that he was 26, but I was mixing up all the ages with all these players. Paul George is 26. Butler, 27. Isaiah Thomas was 26, just turned 28 in February. But that's not my point with that argument. I just want to clarify again for people who didn't hear me clarify myself on WEI. Isaiah Thomas just turned 28 this month, a couple weeks ago. Max contract, he's under contract next season, and then he's a free agent. I think he deserves a max contract. And if he gets it, what? It's through until he's 34 years old? People tweeted me last night going, oh, you're going to pay him in his early 30s? Like, when did 30 become 45? That's just something I don't know when that happened.
Yeah, you got to pay him. I mean, look what other people in the NBA are getting. You know what I mean? You see guys, I don't even know.
It's ridiculous.
Who they are getting $20 million a year.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
But Isaiah Thomas, it sounds to me like maybe you're in that camp that isn't necessarily ready to give him
Isaiah
the proper
Thomas.
Credit.
I think he's phenomenal. But what I'm saying is, look, and I like Jimmy Butler too. But if you have those guys, that's still not enough. You need to be strong down low, especially because other teams, like, are you going to outshoot Golden State? How are you going to stop LeBron James and Kyrie Irving? You need a big man.
But that's sort of...
You need to be strong where they're not. Why I think the Pelicans move was actually a great move for them, because now if they can get anything in the offseason, they're not going to win this year. But if they can get a great shooter, or if they get stronger on the perimeter and they have those two big guys, they're going to be strong where Golden State is not. It will give them a shot in the long run to maybe take them out.
Dennis Horford. I mean, I don't think Horford's getting enough credit. What people see with Horford, I don't know. I guess I don't see it.
He's excellent, but he's a complimentary player. And the reason he's being... Look, what he does is great, but the reason why he's being kind of hated on is because of the salary that he's getting.
Yeah, but all right,
he's not a max player. He's not.
But he is, because he would... Like you said, he would have got that deal anywhere. In other places that are willing to spend money. He would have got a max contract. So you decided to give it to him.
Well,
Al Horford's much better defensively, and people get him credit for it. I'm sorry, he is.
We picked up Horford in anticipation that we were going to be able to get Durant. If you have Durant and Horford, that's a much better move.
It's a good point, and I'm with you on that one, because there were things that were out there that said Durant would look at Horford and consider wanting to play with him. And if you're the Celtics, you had to go all in on that. That said, they didn't get Durant. And anybody, by the way, who thinks Durant's opting out after the season and coming to Boston is just, it's not happening. I was all in on Durant, but since he chose Golden State, I don't see, if they were going to get him, they were going to get him this offseason. They're not going to get him. You're right in the Horford-Durant link. I think that was part of it. But I also believe that the Celtics believe he's the type of player that, when you look back at the Atlanta Hawks series against the Celtics last year in the playoffs, you got a lot of people looking at that series going, oh, Isaiah Thomas, he was double-team, triple-team. Isaiah Thomas also had some fits because Horford was a big body in the paint. And Isaiah Thomas likes to drive to the basket. And Horford's presence alone in that series, what I saw, gave Isaiah Thomas some fits. And people who tell me that Horford didn't have a good series, all right, you're looking at the box score. If you watch the games, Horford, clearly, his presence down low gave someone like Isaiah Thomas fits. I'm not telling you that Horford's going to be that big body down low that's going to block shots all game long and completely shut down a team like Cleveland. But I think he's going to help a lot more than people are giving him credit for. What's he got? He's got over a block per game, 1.6 blocks per game. I believe it's somewhere around top 10 in the NBA. And I've seen the Celtics win at least a handful of games this season where Horford comes up with a big block late in the game. And I don't know. I think maybe these are the games that some people aren't watching, but I also think that maybe people, like you just said, you're right. They see the money. They see that, maybe it's not on the same. Maybe his talent level isn't the same as the money he's getting, but put the money aside. Horford can help you win.
No, he's absolutely a winning player. My point is, if you put DeMarcus Cousins next to him, then now Horford becomes infinitely better, because what he does, I'm not disrespecting him by saying he's a complimentary player, but he's not plan B scoring option. He's not somebody who's going to win games for you based on scoring and shots. He will do some dirty work.
He's plan C, though. And if you can make a move to make him plan C, that's an awfully strong plan C.
Look, I just think we're talking about we want to win championships. And I don't know that Jimmy Butler – you hope that Jaylen Brown becomes Jimmy Butler, right? We just drafted him. You try to get somebody like DeMarcus Cousins, which is kind of a moot point now. You hope Brown develops, and then you have a championship team.
Mm-hmm. But
I think you add Butler.
Well,
all right,
then here's where I come back to it, and here's where I hope – that this isn't the case, because then it sounds like the Jacobs family is running this team. Why would you sign Al Horford if, and I know you mentioned the Durant link, and I think you're right in that, but this has to be part of it too. If you sign Al Horford, I don't see any reason why you should hold on to the Brooklyn pick. And take, with Isaiah Thomas playing the way he's playing right now, take a god, because it's a god-heavy draft. Yeah. When you look at all the mock drafts, the top five picks are like point gods.
That's the other problem we're up against, which is why.
So they say it's a strong draft. It's a strong draft. Why? Because there's a lot of gods. Well, the Celtics, to me, are set up nicely in their backcourt when it comes to Isaiah. And I would give him Max Deal and Marcus Smart being 22 years old.
What about Avery Bradley?
And Avery Bradley, I'd move him. That's what I'm saying. I think you'd have to package an Avery Bradley with the Brooklyn pick and maybe even with the Crowder. To get that all-star player that's going to be able to put up 24, 25 points a night. And I think if you're not going to make that move, then I look back at the Horford thing and I go, all right, what are we doing here? Then if you're not going to go that route and go all in, trade the Brooklyn pick and get an all-star, again, it's not like you're bringing in an all-star who's 32, 33 years old. You're not bringing in Paul Millsap. You know, you're bringing in a Paul George who's 26, a Jimmy Butler who's 27, and, you know, you're going to be competitive the next 5 years, 6 years with these guys to the point where you're competing for an Eastern Conference championship. And if you're getting into the finals, you got a shot. You don't know what's going to happen to Golden State in a couple of years. I mean, you don't. You just don't. I don't think, at this point, the Celtics are the number two seed in the East. At some point, you got to think to yourself, all right, we're right there at the upper echelon in our own conference. We have to stop worrying. We have to stop worrying about everybody else and make a move that's going to make us a better basketball team right now. And to me, trading the Brooklyn pick and building around Isaiah and the guy you just signed to a max contract, Horford, while you have some young players coming up that I feel are untouchable like a Marcus Smart, go get that all-star now. If you don't, my opinion would be, and I hope they don't do this because I hope they do trade the Brooklyn pick. If you don't, I think you should consider all options. I think you should consider moving Isaiah Thomas. Honestly, that's not that I don't love Isaiah Thomas. I want him to stay. I want him on a max deal. But why wouldn't... Like, why are you going to go to the draft, number one overall pick? Who are you taking? You taking a god? They just took Jaylen Brown, number three overall. Does he look like he's ready to light the world on fire in the next 2 years? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think of a way that you can win in the next three or 4 years with the guys that you have.
To me, I don't know if he's going to light the world on fire in 2 years, but he looks like he could be a bona fide superstar NBA player. He has the skill set. 3 or 4 years.
Exactly. Are you going to take a god that's going to be top three that, you know.
So would you deal him?
Who? Jaylen Brown?
Yeah.
I did something on the trade machine last night. when I heard the DeMarcus Cousins stuff, the first thing I did was go to the trade machine. Because in the NBA, you got to make the money work too. You know, you got to match the salaries in a trade. And I think the trade I had was Jaylen Brown, Olynyk, Avery Bradley, and obviously you give both Brooklyn picks. And I think the money worked there with DeMarcus Cousins. And you know, so yeah. I mean, and for the right deal, I would make that trade. I guess it would just go back to me thinking it's similar to just trading the Brooklyn pick last year.
See, it turns out we wouldn't have had to give up both picks. We could have just gave them like a protected pick and a second round pick.
Yeah. But this is where we stand. A couple days before the trade deadline, later this week, the next time I'm doing this show, we'll be reacting to the trade deadline. So right now, DeMarcus Cousins, he's in New Orleans. We have to get over that. I think the Celtics were not in on that because I think they're in on something else. And I just don't think that they trusted Sacramento was even going to move him. So why waste your time? Keep focusing on the all-star that you might be on the verge of getting. If you're Danny Ainge right now, Slane, what... With DeMarcus Cousins out of the equation, what are you doing? What would you do? Would you keep the pick?
No, I mean, look, at this stage of the game with DeMarcus Cousins out of the equation, you have to make a move because, like you said, I think eight of the first top 10 picks projected are guards. And you're strong at guard. You don't need somebody. So the pick becomes less valuable to you, even if it's the number one overall pick. So you're in a position where you kind of have to deal it. So I think now...
So you would take Jimmy Butler?
You have to. You're forced into it. But we were talking about, I thought they should have went all in for DeMarcus Cousins, okay. And it led me to believe that he withdrew from that, that they took such a low offer, right? Because why would Sacramento take that offer if Ainge didn't withdraw? Because you were just talking about giving them three good players and two number one overall picks. It could be like a one and a three or whatever it is. And they gave a second-round pick and a protected pick in the first round this year. So,
yeah, they could have got more. But I also think that, you know, it's there are some teams that don't want to risk, you know, DeMarcus Cousins being looking, at least from afar, looking like some type of head case. And also, we've heard the DeMarcus Cousins stuff so much. I mean, I don't think Sacramento, their front office, their ownership, I don't think anybody in that organization, it's a shit show. It's a circus, the Sacramento Kings. And I think other people in other organizations know that to the point where they're like, oh, we're doing the DeMarcus Cousins thing again. You know, I think this is more on Sacramento. Like, when we shit on this trade and say they didn't get anything, you know, New Orleans didn't have to give up anything, this is more on Sacramento than it is on other people around the league, because I don't know that Sacramento did the right thing. Like, I think Sacramento just saw a deal and they jumped on it because, I don't know, they're idiots. I'm waiting for the Vlade Divac pitcher on Bourbon Street on the phone last night. Like, with a beer in his hand, you know, making a trade. Like, I'm waiting for that picture to come out. It's out. It's got to be out there. But I for people, there will be people today. You know what shows they'll be on. They'll be calling in to shows. They'll be crushing the Celtics for not going all in on Cousins. And I'm a Cousins guy. I would love to see him in Boston. I'd love to see him in a Celtics uniform. But I just think if you're going to knock anybody, you knock Sacramento, because I think over the last 2 years, they screwed this thing up royally because they gave a vibe around the league that they didn't know what they were doing. And also because of that, nobody actually thought that they were going to move DeMarcus Cousins. I don't think people thought they'd actually move him at this point. I was saying over the weekend, I'm like, if it was going to happen, it already would have happened. And it hadn't happened until last night. And I just also get into the Celtics are doing something. They're trying to do something else.
This is the second time I've been crushed this year. I've been thinking about DeMarcus Cousins for the whole year, maybe even longer than that, 2 years.
Me too, but I just kind of said to myself it's not going
to
happen.
It happened with Durant to begin the season.
Yeah.
Now we got this.
That one hurt.
And both of those would have had us competing for a title.
Sure.
But I think it's a good call what you said.
But at the same time, Isaiah Thomas wasn't an MVP candidate when you were thinking that. And I think people needs to hit home with some people. And you don't need to be a green teamer to feel that way. You don't need to be a green teamer to acknowledge some greatness that you're watching right now with Isaiah Thomas. And to think that this is a fluke, to me, is just insane. You know, he's in his 20s still. Anyone in your mid to late 20s that's doing this, and people say, well, this is just sort of happening out of nowhere. Look, I'm a firm believer. If you listen to me before, you know, in any sport, I am a firm believer in opportunity. Okay? There are guys in professional sports who are as talented as anyone that you know that's ever played sports at a high level, that's went to the minor. Think about people that you know that played minor league, baseball, hockey, you know, that might have made it to the pros and they were a fourth line guy and they didn't have success. Those guys are some of the most talented people that you've ever even been in the same room as, to the point where you're like, man, that's got to be a good league if these guys aren't getting it done, right? Whatever sport it might be. These people that we're talking about, they have egos, they're confident, you know, they're proud people, they're proud of what they do, and they're great at what they do. But when they get to that level, sometimes it doesn't always work out for them. That doesn't mean they don't have talent. It's just, you know, I think a lot of the times, it's guys aren't getting the right opportunity. They're not in the right setting. Yep. They're not getting the opportunity. Isaiah Thomas was brought to the Celtics. You know, he was Sacramento, he was in Phoenix. He was given an opportunity to be the man. The man. They said, you're the guy. You're the guy. And it was an organization that wasn't a circus. It was an organization that had some other pieces in place that were good enough to be complimentary with a coach that's pretty good, a young coach that knows what he's doing. And, you know, a city that loves the team, a building that's rocking. And he was given an opportunity in the right spot to succeed. And he's making the proper progressions to the point where I'm like, this isn't a fluke. Like, we've seen him improve as a basketball player with the confidence that he has now. He was given an opportunity. And I just feel like to acknowledge that greatness, you don't need to be a green teamer. You can be anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, be a fan of any team. And you have to acknowledge that what Isaiah Thomas is doing, even in the fourth quarter, is something that the league, you know, hasn't really seen in a long time. What he's doing in the fourth quarter, you got other players around the league going, wow. You get Steph Curry going, wow. And somebody called in the other day and made a good point. They're like, think back a couple of years ago about Steph Curry. He was in the league. Did anybody think he'd be this? And I'm not trying to say Isaiah Thomas is going to be Steph Curry. But when Steph Curry first came in the league, sure, he hit some crazy shots in college at Davidson. Yeah, those big moments. But did anybody think he was going to be this?
Absolutely
like the
not.
Unstoppable force that can hit a shot from anywhere that MVP can't
hit? He was undersized. That was the knock on him. And how many guys have we seen come out of college who had great college careers, and then they shit the bed in the pros?
Sure.
You got like Sean Respert from Michigan State. There's a million guys like him who would, you know, score 25 points a game in college, 22 points a game, great shooters, and you see them and they don't make the transition to the NBA. So especially when a guy is undersized, you know, and it's a good point. If you don't get the opportunity, and Isaiah Thomas could have been that guy. He's 5'9". You let him come in garbage time, and he could have never got that opportunity. He did. This is the perfect situation for him, and he's developed into one of the great Celtics that we've seen. This season, he's having one of the great years of any Celtic, scoring more than Larry Bird did in his prime this season. But did Bird never had a 30-point season, right?
We'd have to look that up. I'm not trying to compare him to Bird. I don't want to get I'm not going there.
That's not the point. You know, I'm not saying he's going to have a greater career
than Bird. Because it is about rings.
Absolutely. But he's scoring more than Bird did in his prime.
Well, he's doing something right now that just the mere fact that that name would even come up in this conversation with regards to a Celtic right now. You know, you found this guy that has seemingly found his game and has this confidence and has been given his opportunity and has taken it and is running with it to the point where he's an MVP candidate with. We're bringing up those names, you know, the Birds. We're bringing up, you know, Steph Curry's name. I take all of that in. I take a step back. I look at it from afar, and I think, even if I wasn't a Celtics fan, I'd be looking at the Celtics going, why wouldn't you want to build around this guy and do it right now? Like, why wouldn't you want to go out and make that major move? You get a Brooklyn pick that you could basically hold that thing over the league and say, it's number one overall. Who wants it? And, you know, you got roster players that I hope they're not sitting there going, no, we're not giving up Avery Bradley. Or, no, we won't give up Jay Crowder. I mean, that's, to me, that's not seeing the opportunity that you have to win with a guy who, again, right now is one of the best players in the league. And I don't think he's going to just drop off. I think he's going to continue to be this good. He might even get better if you add that other option that can score 24, 25 a night. So it's just, my point is,
well,
I think he'll
absolutely get better if they add another scoring option. But I think to get the championship, you got to go after a big man. So is Ainge going to hold on to the pick, hope that it roll the dice that it's the number one, and then parlay that on draft night for a big man? I wouldn't be mad at that. But, you know, I guess we'll see a lot in the next 4 days with the deadline coming up.
We will. So trade deadline Thursday at 3.
Larry Bird's highest season, 29.9 points.
And what
right now, he's tied with Isaiah.
Isaiah really? Thomas, 29.9,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right now they're tied.
All right.
You know, Bird probably had 10 rebounds and 6 assists that season or something like that. But
My father listens to this. He's going to be driving off the road. he's got a Larry Bird tattoo. Okay? Again, I'm not trying to drive people off the road. I don't think you are either. But the conversation is not about really even comparing him to Larry Bird. It's about comparing him to what the rest of the league is right now. And what the rest of the league is a league of superstars. And when you look at all the superstars, they are not all MVP candidates right now. So,
well, you take Isaiah off this team. Let's talk about that. You take Isaiah off this team.
My God.
And they got 20 wins. I mean, for the season, they would finish with 20 wins. They'd be a lottery pick team.
Mm.
They're going to win 54 games this year.
They have 37 right now. They're the number 2 seed in the East.
I project they're going to win 54 games. They're going to win somewhere in the area of 53 to 57, something like that. But that's a lot of wins, man. That's That's Isaiah Thomas right there. You take him off the team, and I think they win 30 less games.
You can't keep the pick. If they keep the pick, I guess. Either the Jacobs family's running the team when you go back to the Horford signing and they just want to get into the playoffs, or they really just were signing Horford just to get Durant. I just think they have to get rid of this pick. I don't see, and it's funny because people say, oh, you got to keep it. And then I ask, all right, who would you draft with it? And they're like, well, I haven't really looked at the draft. What do you mean you haven't looked at the draft? Don't tell me that you keep the pick if you haven't looked at the draft. And I'm not telling you that I really necessarily have been studying all these college players, but some of the guys in the top three, I have gone out of my way to at least check them out or at least watch some highlights. But again, you go to the mock drafts, and you have to go to the mock drafts because those are the guys that really study college basketball. It's all gods. The Celtics aren't looking for gods right now. And if they are looking for gods, that means they move Isaiah Thomas. Or they say that we're not going to sign him to a max deal. We're not going to bring him back. I mean, internally, maybe that's something they're thinking of. I don't know. But if they don't trade the Brooklyn pick, I'm going to have some major questions as to where this Celtics organization actually wants to go in the next 3 years. Now, is there a possibility that they could make a trade in the offseason and they could trade the number one pick before the draft? They could. I think they could. But at that point, what you might risk is maybe not getting as lucky in the lottery. I mean, what if you have that Brooklyn pick, you have the lottery, you get unlucky in number two?
I mean, there's a 35% chance you get number four.
No, well,
you have a higher chance of getting four than one. It's 25% chance to get the first pick, 35% to get the fourth.
Let's say you get unlucky. What happens then? Then are we sitting here going, the trade value to that pick is not as high. Danny Ainge didn't do his job. What are you going to take number four? You're just going to say, I'll have major questions at that point. And the only question I want to ask this offseason is, who is the big that they're going to get to play with this team? That I don't think, if you get someone like Jimmy Butler, you have Isaiah, you have Jimmy Butler, you have Marcus Smart, 22 years old, a defensive beast. You got Al Horford. I think you just need to add a big man that's serviceable enough to help get you by. I don't think you need that all-star big rim protector. I just feel like around the NBA, the bigs are sort of like the Al Horford type big. I think you have one of those. If you do want that defensive guy, I don't know that you have to go out and give up a king's ransom to get him. And, I mean, even Cousins. I love Cousins. I would have loved to see him on the Celtics. But he shoots threes, plays from the outside. And that's not necessarily the rim protector that some people talk about when they want a big, but I just think he can win without that guy being an all-star. And I think the all-star that you need needs to be a scorer on the somebody on the outside on that wing that when Isaiah Thomas is getting doubled and triple teamed in the playoffs, maybe he doesn't anymore because you got Jimmy Butler. Pick your poison. Then maybe Isaiah Thomas is a postseason beast. Let's give Al Horford a full season before we knock him. Let Isaiah Thomas get into the playoffs a second straight year before we start running him out of town and saying he's not a max player. The people who say he's not a max player right now, what happens if Isaiah Thomas shows up in this postseason, lights the world on fire, and helps him get by Cleveland? I mean, what if he plays like the MVP? You have the MVP of the league at that point in the playoffs for you, helping you get to the finals? What, you don't think that guy's a max player? This feeling that I have about this Celtics team and their current core, which is Isaiah and Al Horford, and I even think Marcus Smart's in there, to keep the Brooklyn pick is wasting the years with Isaiah and Horford, which makes me think, why do you even still have these guys? Why did you sign Horford, and why don't you just trade Isaiah while we're making moves? If you're going all in, Brooklyn number one, keeping Jaylen Brown, all right, you keep Smart, why sign Horford, and why sign Isaiah to a max deal? That's just where I stand. I don't want them to keep the Brooklyn pick. I want them to trade it. And if Jimmy Butler's the guy, I will be thrilled. And I'll be sitting there telling you on Friday's podcast that if they get Jimmy Butler, the Celtics will absolutely contend for the East. And they will give Cleveland a competitive series, more competitive than anybody else in the East, to the point where we'll be watching that series going, they got a chance. They got a chance. I'm not a green teamer to believe that either. I'm not. Not a green teamer to believe that. And you don't have to be a green teamer either. And anybody that tells you got to be a green teamer, well, I think you're sipping the sports media, the sports radio Kool-Aid, shall we call it. And I hate that phrase, green teamer. Hate it.
Me too. It's the first time I've heard it.
You never heard it? No. I hear it all the time. I get called the green teamer sometimes when I go on the radio and I praise the Celtics. And I'm like, why the fuck am I a green teamer if I'm praising the number two seed in the East? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So NBA trade deadline is Thursday. I want Jimmy Butler. And now I think I'd take Paul George over Jimmy Butler. And that's an interesting situation, too, because you could have Paul George in the mix. I don't know.
You made me feel a lot better about the Jimmy Butler prognosis.
I'm telling you. I don't think Jimmy Butler's getting enough credit either.
Man, I was so set on Cousins. I thought we were going to get him. It's like I said, it's the second time being crushed this season. But
I think if we went back to last year and this is how this played out, I'd be crushed. But I have sort of talked myself into Sacramento wasn't going to move him. And again, that plays into my theory. This is more on Sacramento because I think the rest of the league was like, we're not going to waste our time with these clowns and do this whole, you know, trade talk with Vlade Divac. The guy's a clown. Like, you guys don't even know what he's talking about. How much time are we going to waste? We've already tried to do this, and they don't want to have... I just feel like that's the way this thing played out. Nobody wanted to deal with them anymore. And the Celtics were like, when they found out, oh, they're going to move Cousins All-Star weekend before the deadline. Danny Ainge is like, then put yourself in Danny Ainge's shoes. There have been reports they're talking with Chicago. You're in. You in Chicago, you got... It makes sense for both sides. You know, the Bulls, you got Dwayne Wade. He's your hometown kid, big name player, veteran who's on his way out. And you got him around to sell some tickets while you sort of get the rebuild going. And the way you get the rebuild is by getting the number one overall pick. You got issues in the locker room in Chicago. I don't necessarily know what those issues are. But if you want to get a number one pick and start right now from scratch, this would be the time to do it to get that number one pick. But you got to give up Jimmy Butler to get him. Celtics, trade the pick. Get an all-star score on that wing. It just makes complete sense to me, both sides. It's a realistic trade. They have been talking. This isn't the first time we've heard of this. Where there's smoke, there's fire. If you're Danny Ainge, put yourself in his shoes. You're having conversations with Chicago. You think you're close. This is as close as you've been to getting this player on this team to compete with Cleveland in the East. And then you get a call. And it's Sacramento. It's Vlade Divac sipping on a Mai Tai on Bourbon Street. He's like, hey, Danny, I want to trade you to DeMarcus Cousins. And Ainge is like, we've already gone over this. Like, we've already done this. I've already reached out to you. We've talked. Are you keeping him? Are you not? I need to know. Are you serious? Like, what's going on here? Because I'm already involved in something. And I'm close. I'm close here. I can't walk away from this knowing that you guys are a bunch of ass clowns not knowing what you're doing with DeMarcus Cousins. I think that's a real thing that could happen. And based on Rick Bucher's tweet, it sounds like that's it. To the point where, if you're Ainge, put yourself in his shoes. You're close. Sacramento's over here calling. You're like, no. You know what? We tried to do that 2 years ago. We tried to do that last year. We tried to do that 2 months ago. You wouldn't do it.
You see how you just did that? You turned Vlade Divac into the kids that were following Darrell Revis with the phone.
Well, I think that Divac might have got his ass kicked in that situation. Revis, no, good for Revis. I'm a Revis fan after that because I have this gut feeling that those two kids deserve that beaten.
I like the description that they gave too. We don't know what happened. We had an altercation. The next thing we know, we woke up on the ground.
Who do people think Darrell Revis is? He's the macho man, Randy Savage.
I knocked both of these motherfuckers out. Both of them. Hey, both sleep. Shut up, I'll knock your ass out next. Both of y'all, shut up.
See Brock Lesnar running around the streets, double clotheslining guys? Like, no, he's walking up the street. He's shit-faced. He doesn't want two kids in his face videoing him. And I'm sure they were doing more than just, Darrell, will you sign my shirt? No. Probably two dickheads who were shit-faced.
People
we've all seen them.
Real fucking disrespect.
Oh, they're probably two assholes who had it coming. They probably had it coming.
It's a travesty if he loses his contract over this. And, you know, I hear everybody crucify guys like this in the media all the time. Is there a time and place for that? Yes. The running back from Baltimore who knocked his wife out. Yes. Crucify him. That's great in the media. But when you want to take a situation like this and try to talk about him like he's a bad guy, put yourself in someone's shoes like that. If somebody's harassing you while you're walking down the street, they deserve to get knocked out. And it needs to be talked about like it needs to be talked about like that more often. You got so many people like
promote the knockout to dickheads. Knockout dickheads.
Seriously, man. You know, we live in an age of the internet era when anybody can say anything to anybody with no repercussion. It's like it's not good. It's not good for society for people to go unchecked like that. People need to be checked. And I'm not saying Darrell Revis should be checked. Darrell Revis should be applauded. Let's applaud Darrell Revis.
I mean, again, I don't know the full story. I don't think we're ever going to know the full story.
Let's wait and see what the video is.
But if I had to, yeah, the video. Imagine the video comes out. He's like Brock Lesnar walking down the street, just hitting kids. But honestly, if I had to put my money on it, I'd put my money on that's not what happened. I'm just trying to be realistic with what goes on.
Yeah, common sense. I thought that the second I heard that story.
I'm like, it's me too. I said, these two kids probably had it coming. Like, they're probably melting off. They're shit-faced. You know? They knew they were outnumbering this guy. And next thing you know, they're, you know, snoozing. No, nap time. I hope they're all right now, but let's be honest. Let's be real. They probably said something stupid, did something stupid, and maybe deserved a beating. And Revis gave it to him.
And now...
And I think I'm an even bigger Revis fan than I was before.
Now they're looking for a payday, which, again...
Yeah, they give it to TMZ?
I mean, how did we find out about it?
How did TMZ get it?
How did we find out
about it? How TMZ get that?
That's what the video was, TMZ.
But how TMZ get it?
It almost looks like fake, the way that they're lined up on the ground. They're like... We were talking about this earlier. They almost look like they're sleeping. You know what we were talking about?
When people get knocked out. You've seen people get knocked out.
Those two motherfuckers are sleeping.
They go into like the stiff mode.
Yeah. Yeah, arms are locking up. I mean, it just doesn't look like two kids that got knocked out. Anything on the face either? Like any marks on the face?
Nothing.
It doesn't seem right. Look, maybe it sounds like we're promoting violence on the show, but we don't. We're not. We're just saying that in that specific situation, my gut is telling me that those two kids are not complete angels walking up and down the street just looking to shake a professional athlete's hand at 2:30 in the morning. I'm sorry.
No, if I were to advise Darrell Revis ahead of time, I would say, look, don't be out at 2:30 in the morning.
Sure.
He has the right to be, but I would say, look, you're going to have to deal with dickheads like this. I've dealt with it. I think a lot of people have. And it's like, don't put yourself in that position. That's the smart thing to do, but... These people should not be rewarded for being dickheads. There should not be a lawsuit where they get rewarded. Darrell Revis should not lose his contract. And I think people need to recognize that, you know, he doesn't deserve to be treated, you know, with disdain or like this. I've heard people say this is going to end his career. Really? This is going to end his career? Somebody's harassing
I think his career, but here's the thing. I think his career's already ended.
It might be anyways.
We talk about his career. I mean, I think his career is probably over anyways. And that's a shame because it's not like he's the oldest cat in the league. But what I think I deserve on this show is to be able to sit down and get the exclusive with Revis if I'm going to be the only one getting his back in this situation. Revis' agent. I don't know who you are, but if you're out there, I deserve to get the one-on-one with Revis here inside the Beantown Athletic Studio. Let's do it. Right now, we get the one-on-one with Slane. Slane's in studio. We're going to wrap this up in a few minutes. I want your thoughts on a couple things. First, I do have to ask, because we were talking about it before you came in, and it just so happens that you might be able to answer this question. I know I ask you about Ben Affleck all the time, and you probably hate it. But, you know, you're in the town. He's your boy. We were talking about Batman. And... He's no longer Batman, right? Or something happened?
I think he was going to direct it. Now he's not directing.
Now he's not directing. And it's called The Batman, right? A new movie. He was in Batman vs. Superman.
Right. I think
he was at the end of Suicide Squad.
I think the next solo Batman movie, he is still Batman. And again, I haven't spoken to him about this. You know, so this
gotta clarify that.
Yeah, I've... This
shoot
is
him
just,
a text, dude.
But you might be, but you know, you're in the circle of knowledge, I guess, to the point where you might have heard something in a circle somewhere that I'm not in that circle and we have no idea. It's just a question I felt like, since we were talking about it and I have you here, I need to ask it. Is Is he completely out? You don't know if he's completely out of the Batman?
I think he's playing Batman. I think he is. He announced that he's not directing
He's not
anymore.
Directing it.
My...
Okay. Told that clarifies
you.
That.
Yeah, I told you.
No, I
didn't
that's
want
what
to say
I said.
I told you so.
I said that. I said
so.
He's not directing it anymore.
He's not directing it.
Because there's a link between Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad...
And then the next one, the Justice League.
And then the next one that they're going to have, I think.
The Justice League,
You
yeah.
would think that Affleck's involved in that, too, because he's at the end of Suicide Squad.
I'll tell you but what my is. Original thought was when I heard he was directing Batman. Well, my original thought was I would be a good Penguin, right? But no.
They got to bring the Penguin back, man.
Seriously, what my first thought was is like, wow, how is he going to direct? How do you
Here
direct Batman? Yeah. With the mask on and all that. Because what people don't realize in the logistics of directing a movie, when you're an actor director, so when we're doing The Town, he's running behind the camera, he's looking at, he's framing up the shots, he's talking with that, you know, with the crew. And then he has to talk with the actors, then he has to get into the scene and act too. So if you have the
too
fucking,
much.
If you're in the full Batman shit, I mean, that's a clunky fucking thing.
Especially the one he was wearing was like the funkiest Batman looking Batman I've ever seen in my life.
But it's huge.
He
was
like a
and
he
you
was
got
like
the
a
mask and you got all that shit going on. Then you got to go and talk
the
to the other actors
chair.
And you have to direct the other actors, then you have to go talk to the you know to the DP and whoever and it's like
that's too
That
much.
Would be daunting. I can't imagine doing that.
Well, obviously
even you, just him well, doing it without It's daunting. It's a big job, man. Director. It's a director's medium. The director controls everything down the line.
Well, you obviously don't know anything about 363, The Road to the Celtic 3-on-3, where I was actor, director.
I've seen it. I watched it
it's
since
tough,
you guys told me.
So I know what you're saying. It's tough. It's tough to direct and be in the movie. I get it, but I like your idea. The Penguin. Is it? No,
I
are you
like
serious?
It too.
Is this, I mean, because this is... Now, this is going to get out there. People
a
are
new
gonna...
age Penguin. I like that.
Yeah.
Like a street guy. Like,
yeah, but not yeah. like...
Maybe I could be yeah. like the Penguin in the Southie 3-on-3 part 2.
We'll have That's to a... work that yeah. character in.
We'll definitely cameo. Remember that.
But I think it would fit better with a movie with Affleck and the Batman. But it's funny. You get that role, and I think of... The minute you say that, I think of the Joker in recent... movies like Suicide Squad. I thought the Joker was the best Joker I've ever seen. The Joker from what was the
Heath Ledger Joker was the
yeah Heath Ledger.
Joker.
He was
Knight.
Very good because he was almost like as normal a guy, not normal, but he was.
It seemed real. It was realistic.
It seemed real. It seemed realistic. The one in Suicide Squad, it was a combination of some realistic and some over the top stuff, and they met in the middle when he's like a club owner, right?
It was more
comic
book.
I thought that was great.
And the Nicholson one was classic, but it was cartoonish.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But the Penguin that you're talking about, it could be like a street Penguin.
I like it.
Street
like
Penguin.
Idea, yeah.
In the Heath Ledger vein, like.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it. Slain,
like
the street
I like
Penguin.
Pitch it, man. Let's do it.
We're pitching it right now. What role can I play? Does the Penguin have a sidekick? Does the Penguin have a trusty sidekick?
I think you'd be a good Robin.
I'll sell tickets or
be
something.
Be the Riddler or something.
I'll
like
sell
that.
Tickets or something in the movie. Do something.
Be the Robin with the Boston accent.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I had to ask you about that. But the last thing I want to ask you about is how you feel about Jimmy Garoppolo. Because right now the Patriots are a big Patriots fan. They're in a situation where they went out of the Super Bowl. They're sticking with Brady. At least that's what we think. That's what I believe they should do, which means if they're doing that, you got to trade Garoppolo because he's going to want to play after next season. And I mean, look, in a perfect world, you sign him to a small deal and extend him and keep him around until Brady's done. I think Brady still has 3-4 very good years left in him. But why would Garoppolo want to do that? I don't think Garoppolo is going to want to do that.
3 years ago, I would say you're crazy. But Tom Brady's 40 to trade a quarterback who looks like he has a lot of potential. But Brady just had one of his best seasons. He just ended with an incredible Super Bowl win.
Yeah.
He had 2 interceptions in the regular season against 28 touchdowns. Missed 4 games. He would have been the MVP of the league if he played all 16. And he looks younger now than he did 10 years ago. He's faster. He's faster now. He ran the ball this year. He's a better quarterback now. I think he wants to play 5 more years. They're talking about a 5-year extension. You're going to have to end up trading Garoppolo sooner or later, and I think right now you get your best value for him. He had, I mean, it was only 6 quarters, but he was so good in those 6 quarters that, and there are teams that are desperate for a quarterback. I think You move it to the Bears if you can for the number 3 pick. If not, to the Browns for the number 12. Well, who knows? Maybe the Browns have to come up and give you the first pick because the Bears are offering the 3 pick. Now, if you're going to get the number 1 overall pick,
all right,
in the draft,
I like what you're saying.
Then I think you got to go and take either you either take a great offensive lineman, a monster.
They wouldn't make that pick.
Or you take a great pass rusher.
They ain't making that pick. I mean, I want to see him do it. But it's not. They're not going to make that pick. They will end up with 4 fourth rounders, and say we got Malcolm Mitchell in the 4th round. We got Trey Flowers in the 4th round. We'll take 3 or 4 more 4th rounders, and we'll do it that way.
I mean, we've
for good. I mean, I'm not saying that's bad. Good. I hope they
before,
do that.
The linebacker that we took, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Mayo. We took Gerard Mayo with the 10th overall pick, right out of Tennessee. So, I mean, I think they would, for the right player, I think they would do it. Or say they parlay it down, take the number 1 overall pick and get a mid-first round pick this year and next year too. And, you know, we have pieces that we need. We could strengthen the offensive line. We could get a tight end to back up Gronk or to play in unison.
You're not on board with trading Gronk, right?
Absolutely not, man. Okay. I mean, look.
Good, because I'm not trading Gronk either. Trading Garoppolo, I'm not trading Gronk.
Gronk is not – told you, I heard you on EEI, and I was calling in, because it was getting me so. I was infuriated. I'm driving around swearing at the radio at all the.
Not at me.
We don't need Gronk. No, people calling in. I mean, you're talking about a guy when he's healthy. He's not one of the best players in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He is the best, most dominant player in the NFL. When you go against a great defense like Denver, in the AFC Championship last year, a game that we lost because Gostkowski missed the. Point after,
yeah.
Which I lost $2,500 on in this field goal. Ooh. I mean, in the Super Bowl on a square.
Ooh.
But Gronkowski was the only thing that brought you back. You almost won that game with Gronkowski. What do you have, 180 yards receiving? I mean, he was the only thing that kept you in that game, and Brady. But Brady was getting knocked around. The defense took all your other guys out of the equation. You will have games like that. You will have to face a defense like that, and Gronkowski is the only player you have that cannot be shut down. Cannot be shut
down. Yeah, well, people will point to the people that did call in that you were getting mad about. They pointed to the Patriots winning without Gronk. And I said, you're right. You know, you can't ignore that. They did win without Gronk. Gronk is under contract, though, for the next 3-4 years, right? And it's a very affordable contract to the point where, guess what? There's no reason for you to trade him. If you think, oh, he's hurt, he's not going to be on the field. Well, again, his contract isn't crazy enough where that's such an issue. You hope that you're rewarded by keeping him on the team that he's healthy. Because when he is healthy, even though they won without him, you have to acknowledge that. But you also have to acknowledge, and this is scary for the rest of the league, the Patriots are a better team with Gronk on the field.
Absolutely.
So you got to keep him. Keep Gronk, trade Garoppolo, and you're on board with that stuff.
Absolutely. And if you lost the Super Bowl, you would have been saying, well, we didn't have Gronk, you know. But since we had the incredible comeback, it was a great comeback. But if we didn't make the comeback.
Did you give up? Did you stop watching?
I got so pissed off when they missed that point after because the square thing. And I was like, ah, fuck. Then I didn't stop watching. I paced 7 miles. You know, I got the step counter in my phone. I was pacing the whole time. And when they hit the field goal, I was pissed off, too. When they kicked the field goal, it was first and goal from the 6-yard line. They got backed up. They ended up kicking a field goal. But I said, 2 touchdowns, 2-point conversions. The fact that they did it, though, that was something else.
And when 28-9.
When Julian Edelman caught that ball, all the pain from the David Tyree catch and the Patriots loss in the 18-1 season, it was all removed. It took until then. When Julian Edelman made that catch, now the power has been taken out of the Giants' losses.
Yeah.
It's gone now.
I watched those. They showed all the Super Bowls last weekend on NFL Network, all the Patriots ones, and they showed the Giants' Super Bowls, and I watched them. I had to. I kept changing the channel, and I'm like, I got to go back. I got to see what went wrong. And it was just, you know, the first one. That drive, Eli just had a horseshoe in his ass. And then the second one, that game, the Patriots got off to such a bad start. I mean, Tom Brady throwing that ball away, intentional grounding in his own end zone, safety. It was just a perfect storm. And I think that scar is always going to be there for me. But you're right. When you saw Edelman make that catch, a couple minutes before that, I'm yelling at my TV going, we are due for one of these crazy catches down the field. What do you know? Edelman comes up with it. Patriots go on to win the Super Bowl. And if the Patriots didn't win that Super Bowl and it ends the way the first half looked, where Brady's getting knocked around, he throws the interception, Blunt fumbles, you know what the conversation is. And I'm not saying I would have it, but you get a lot of people saying, don't trade Garoppolo. It's time to move on from Brady. You know you'd get that.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be saying it, but you get a lot of people saying it. Now, because Brady won that game, and he is who he is, and you saw what type of season he had, I think the majority are on board with me and you. Move Garoppolo, and if you can get a first-round pick, and then maybe even take that first-round pick and turn it into a couple fourths, go ahead. But make that move right now. This is where I think you have to choose his own destiny before he chooses his own for you. Right? That's what you got to do. All right, Slan. I kept you here longer than you want to be here, and I appreciate it.
I'm going to piss myself right now.
We don't want that. So we'll wrap it up. Thanks for joining me. You got anything you're promoting right now?
Nah, man.
Just got back from being on tour, right?
I just came in to talk sports with you, bro.
There we go. We'll get you in again. We'll get you. We're trying to perfect this Facebook Live video. When we do, then it'll be that much sweeter. It'll be that much better, this podcast. But you can get the audio anytime you want at DannyPicard.com. Also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere podcasts are available. And don't forget, DraftKings. Use my promo code PICK, P-I-C, to play for free with your first deposit. Doesn't have to be just basketball or hockey. It can also be golf. It can be MMA, even NASCAR. How about that? Play for free. Use the promo code PIC. Have a great week. I'll be back Friday. We will break down the NBA trade deadline. If you're Danny Ainge and you're listening, don't trade Marcus Smart. And please, trade the Brooklyn pick and get me a Jimmy Butler. All right? Get me Jimmy Butler before Thursday at 3. Whatever happens, I'll react to it on Friday. Talk to you then.